Coming up on Your Best Life.
Jesus is the ultimate soft answer to a problematic world, to an angry world. The one thing that the devil cannot deliver to anybody is peace. He can bring confusion, maybe excitement, maybe chaos, but not peace.
Welcome to another message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. We are praying that this message will bless you and help you live your best life. For more information about Pastor Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
Hi friends, I am so excited about our new album, Only Love. You can download it on iTunes. It is fantastic. I've found this has such a buoyant effect on my soul. When I'm listening to this music, it lifts me, it helps me worship God. And I'm telling you, during the day when I'm not even listening to the music, those songs keep singing themselves on the inside of my heart. I know you're gonna love this great album, Only Love, from C3 Church. Matthew 5:9, and we're talking about the peacemakers, and this is the Beautiful Attitudes, fantastic series. And the reason I love doing what I would call an expository series means you're going through passage after passage after passage in the scripture, and you've said, we feel like God wants to bring this into our congregation as part of our annual diet. And so you choose that, and verse by verse, line by line, we're going through this. And the great thing about that, it forces you to go to subjects and areas that you may not normally go to, but they're in the teachings of Christ. And so for the full counsel of God to come into our lives, for us to be whole believers, healthy Christians, to have a wide-ranging diet out of the New Testament becomes really, really important for us. And so this is just such a beautiful passage here in Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Can we all say that together? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be the sons of God. Okay, you often hear peacemakers associated with political events, sitting down in the Middle East. Remember Henry Kissinger, and then there was Camp David. These are a long time ago. And these days there's various accords that they have where people come together and try and get warring factions to calm down. I'm not sure Jesus was really referring to that, even though these people are called that. I think world peace is obviously something that we should aspire to. But I think it's more about you and me and our local world being peacemakers, being people who can bring peace to a situation. In fact, Jesus said, when you go to somebody's house, let your peace. And I thought, that's such an awesome thing. Because if we need anything at all, It's peace in people's lives that are so noisy and aggravated and agitated. And the one thing that the devil cannot deliver to anybody is peace. He can bring confusion, maybe excitement, maybe chaos, but not peace. One thing this world cannot give you is peace. There is no peace, the Bible says, in a world of wickedness. There's guilty minds, there's disturbed emotions, there's all of that. But you, when you have faith in Christ, Romans 5:1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that peace is like a sublime quality that cannot be purchased. You can't buy it. You can't win it. I know that we see ads of a 90-mile long beach, and there's just ocean and skies and sand, and it's like, come and be peaceful. And you think, oh, if only I could get there out of my hectic, hassle, frenetic life. Oh God, how much is, oh God, I can't afford all that. So you put yourself under more pressure, put it on the card, and off you go. Oh, how am I gonna pay for this? You're walking along your peaceful beach. Oh, I don't know. Peace, you can have that 90-mile beach on the inside of your heart. You can be calm within, and that is what Jesus has promised you. He says, I want you to live in that place so you can hear my voice. There isn't just all this noise going on in there, and through the static you can't hear anything, but so we can commune together. And in a confused world, in an agitated world, becoming a peacemaker is one of the greatest testimonies you can do. You know, like as soon as God comes into a situation, people get restful. I don't know if you've ever found that. If I ever pray for somebody out in like a restaurant or somebody, just say, God, touch this person. They generally go, they do a kind of a sigh of, wow, burden's just gone. Because even though people could be there arming, meditating, you know, inside their head, but peace is the signature of God. Peace is the thumbprint of God on your soul. You know God's there because peace is there. And I'm not talking about just people not fighting. I'm talking about an atmosphere, a calm that is in your house. James 4 verse 1 says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? So he's saying, where do the fights come from among you? When you have a fight with amongst between you, where does it come? It comes from within you. What's within you comes out of you. And so you cannot be a peacemaker if you are not peaceful on the inside yourself. I mean, all of us live in a world of anger, agitation. When you're sitting at that red light and you just looked away for a second, maybe 1.5 seconds, and the person behind you is kind of a little agitated, and they don't do the little, just letting you know it's gone green. No, it's like, honk, it's an angry honk. And you are stirred up. That gets you, because they imparted their anger over your way. You look in the rear vision mirror, there's this guy, he's making all kinds of hand signals that you obviously don't understand, but, and you go, ah! So then you figure, You get it. It gets you. You get out of the car, you walk around the boot, pull out your crowbar, and you're going to smash his headlights. But I think, no, I can't do that. I'm a pastor. And that's a member of my church, you know, so I... When we get agitated, we agitate others. And that is not what a Jesus follower is. He's not an agitator of other people. If you got strife in you, you're going to bring strife into your relationships. Guys, we get a problem, we go in our cave, we go, and your wife or your kids say, Daddy, can I talk to you? And we're grumbling away inside there. Somewhere down the line, we've got to learn peace is the signature of a believer. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So here's the thing, wrath has come to you, and we can't control people being angry with us, but you can control your response. And the Proverbs here is saying, dial down the volume. Whatever you do, don't answer loudly. Don't just turn it down. Maybe a whisper, it's okay. And be calm, not harsh words, soft words, not severe words, not blaming words, not excusing words, but calm words. Everything's gonna be all right. Be in control. Let me read it again. A soft answer turns away wrath. So when wrath is coming to you, don't respond with wrath, because wrath can stir it up inside you, like the guy with the horn, or any situation like that. People can say things to you that just get you that flash of anger. Not that I've ever had that, but it's like I've heard others. And then you need this management thing where you're trying to manage an anger. Well, do you know, there's a psalm, Psalm 119, I think it might be 150. It says, great peace have they who love your law, and nothing shall offend them. That's an awesome scripture, right? Great peace have they that love the Bible. If you love it, you read it. Could I just say something as a parenthesis here, over in the margin of the message? Read your Bible. Come on. It's incredible. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you haven't read the Bible. It's very convicting, isn't it? When you talk about, have you read your Bible today? Or did you read the newspaper and watch the news? What's that going to fill you with? Agitation. I know it's important to find out what prime minister we've got this week. But the thing is, there are more important... Sorry. They're all kind. We might think these things are important for me to know. The most important thing for you to have going into your life is the beautiful scriptures of God. There's something about them that reframe your perspective, that reprogram your thoughts, that give you a new angle on life. When you read how Paul greets people that are giving him a headache, he says, grace to you, peace from God. Blessings on your life. I thank God for you every time I remember you. To just allow words like that to fill your heart as soon as you wake. I mean, there's something in human beings that always wants to complain. Like, people always ask me, how was your trip? I say, fantastic. Because I know it's so easy. Oh, well, you know, I'm a little tired. This is this and that. Why do I want to talk like that? I don't want to talk like that. Life is fantastic. And I'm in control of how my life is going to be. It's not what happens to me, it's how I happen to life. He's preaching, amen. When we clap, like Deb said, we do it. We go for it. Jesus is the ultimate soft answer to a problematic world, to an angry world. He didn't come rebuking and chiding and with a sword and a gun and trying to manipulate us and coerce us into a peaceful position. He came and hung on a cross saying, I forgive them. Yeah. Right. I let it go, Lord. I'm not going to take offense here. And here's the weird thing. If you are not in the Word of God, if your word level is not equal to your situation level, if your word level in your life is out of whack with the pressure in your life and your responsibilities in life, you are going to find yourself at the mercy of what happens to you. And so when an offense comes into a person's life, I've found that even though I did not intend an offense, people have turned it into an offense. Even though I didn't give it, they took it. And that's what the word says. They took offense. It wasn't given. It wasn't meant. It wasn't intended. But when you take things and make it an offense thing, then you'll get agitated and you start destroying your emotional structure on the inside, which then bleeds out into our relationships. So to allow peace to live in our lives, being in the Word of God is imperative. Being filled with the Holy Spirit every time we worship, peace comes into our lives through the power of the Holy Ghost. So you are well equipped for any agitated situation that you find yourself in. Now, Philippians says, 4 verse 6 to 7, don't fret or worry in the Message Bible. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. A Jewish proverb said, worms eat you when you're dead. Worries eat you when you're alive. When stress morphs into panic, our fuse shortens. Anxiety drains you of energy, of every good quality in your life. Anxiety can come from a guilty mind. It can come from feeling like you've done something wrong, or if you know you've done something wrong, that it's an unresolved situation. But when you do put faith in Christ and accept forgiveness and confess your sin, there is a peace that's beyond understanding. Sometimes I worry about what I would call premature comforting. When a person who is struggling with their guilt, struggling with conviction, and they say, I feel so bad, I just, you know, really have got to get right with God. And to say to them, oh, don't worry, you're fine. And they go, really? But still there's something down in there that's uneasy. To help people face that uncomfortable moment and to go through it, they will get something from God. Not just the words of a person or a counselor in their mind, but something you can't give. A peace from heaven, a peace from God can come into their soul and make everything ordered and calm down there that nothing else in this world can deliver. Right. And I itch for people to have a genuine, authentic God experience. It's not like he's not there, he's here. Right. And when he comes into a life, it is transformed. Peace does come. That does pass your understanding. You think, this is ridiculous. How can I be so peaceful right now? Well, with this situation, I'm in good shape. I should be falling apart, but I'm not. And when you have that genuine and authentic connection with the Father, peace will rule in your life. Colossians says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let it just reign over your entire life. Never let chaos or confusion get in there. The second way that anxiety can be in our lives is through distraction. We've got an ADD generation, no doubt about it. Attention deficit disorder. And somebody went and put an H in the middle there just to make it even worse. Hyperactive. Attention deficit hyperactive disorder. I think that's how it goes. And we are sitting watching the TV with a computer going on here and our phone ready over there. And kids are saying, hey, read me a story, daddy. And you're going, little story. Just your brain is everywhere. And it is a proven fact that when you're trying to do this multitask thing and your attention span, you're doing nothing well. Nothing is getting, it's not just not doing life well, it can be deadly. People on the phone driving a car, it's proven every day there are people dying on the road or getting maimed or anything because of a distraction that can be deadly. At the very least, it's not actually achieving as much as you think it will. And for us to eliminate activity in our lives, even though it's tough, it can be really helpful. I mean, ask yourself what your wardrobe looks like. How many clothes in there have you not worn for 2 years? Elimination is not easy. I understand that. And you're thinking, well, one day when I've lost a couple of kilos, I'm going to put that back on. Amen. And then you got your winter clothes over here that you just put away for summer. Amen. And so you've got all of these areas in your life that are hoarding, and you've got all kinds of things down in your garage, man. You know that old barbecue that's rusting? You think one day I'm going to... No, you're not. Throw it away. You're never going to use it. This clutter on the outside, but inside our world, we have clutter because we think, I don't want to miss out on anything. And this is what the devil said to Adam and Eve. Surely, he's not holding out on you, is he? You're going to miss out. And that feeling of, I'm going to miss out, that's a horrible feeling, especially for teenagers that want to stay up all night in case they miss out on something. Well, I could say some really bad things right now you can miss out on, you know, but it could be good that you miss out on them. Extremely good that you miss out on many of them. But I know what you will miss out on, and that's getting up early to meet with God. And the fact of elimination is a difficult exercise, but to get our attention and focus on the one thing that matters, this one thing I do, Paul said, forsaking all others, trimming down, eliminating a lot of the other stuff. I'm not going to worry about doing that. And in church life, I find that all the time. That you have to prune. I grow tomatoes every now and then. When I was a kid, my dad taught me you got to break off all these little branches and make sure. Otherwise, you get all these tiny little tomatoes. You might have a lot, but you can't eat them because they're so small. Or else you can have a few big ones simply because you looked after quality and not just went for a whole range of quantity. The distraction problem is something that all of us live with, and we have to make up choices about what we're going to live by. And one of the things that we should do is make a decision before we have to make that decision. So we have a policy in our life. I go to church on Sunday. Wow, I love saying that. That's just a given. I just got my priority down. That's it. I don't have to go, oh, shall I go to this week? That's it. Because that's going to feed me spiritually and set me up. Even on the days that I'm not into, I'm going to read the Bible and I'm going to pray. And when I make these commitments as lifestyles, it's just easy to say, well, I can't do that and I won't do that right now. Maybe I'm never going to do that again, but I'm going to actually get focused in life. Distraction creates an agitation in our life because we're just everywhere. Jesus said to a person in the Bible, you're very distracted. Her name was Martha. And it's a fascinating story because Martha is an extremely house-proud woman. She like dusts everything. She even goes into the fridge, lifts the lid where the cheese is and dusts the cheese in there. Everything is perfect. She's got plastic on the couch. It's unnervingly quiet in the house. You don't want to put your feet or sit or do anything anywhere because that's Martha. And she runs a tight, wonderful house. Mary, on the other hand, she's the creative. And her room's messy. Martha just can't stand going anywhere near that place. She never makes a bed. She's like, you know, wanders around and sings and writes poetry. And she's just that kind of person. That couldn't find two more different sisters. Well, Martha's always anxious and nervous that Jesus is just going to turn up because he does. He just turns up every now and then. You're my friends, aren't you? Can't I just pop in unannounced? She's always like, well, call me. Or send a pigeon, do something. Let me get ready. He doesn't. So here's Jesus coming over the hill into Bethany, and here's Martha just looks out the window, catches a glimpse, and he's got like 70 people with him. He's been on a big crusade, and now he's just coming in down the hill, walking. She can't believe it, breaks out in a sweat. She goes out, gets into the freezer, pulls out turkeys and lambs and chickens and throws them into the microwave, starts defrosting and cooking them up. And then she starts rolling out the big round tables on the trestles, and she's out of the garage, she's rolling them, getting them all out, 70 people. Like that. Then she goes, gets the Irish linen, and she's bringing it up. And now she peels 100 potatoes like this. She's like lightning speed, everything. She's got peas in this big pot and it's boiling. She starts making the gravy, and then she runs up the stairs, puts her hair in curlers, puts her makeup on, puts her apron on, over her best dress, she got the dress. She says, I wear flats right now, but I put my heels on when it comes. And just like, just like running out of the kitchen, and out comes the cutlery from Sheffield. She's running. It's like a lightning strike on the air, just a blur. You see this, what is that? It's Martha Express, baby, and she is getting ready for Jesus. And like now she's just running back from the kitchen. She goes, she looks in there in the living room. Jesus has arrived. Oh my God. She goes, oh. It's like midair. She's frozen. Because Mary's there. She's pulled out a guitar. She's singing. Just one day, your cause, better than a thousand elsewhere, better than a thousand elsewhere. Oh. You know that feeling when you're working hard and somebody could be helping you, but they're not? That's a bad feeling, right? If you're ever going to get agitated, right there is that day when you're going to get agitated. Here I am, cleaning this up, pushing this, running this, down here looking after all your children. You out there, praise the Lord. You know, like, I'm out here in the car park, these people fighting me, and they're like, I don't want to park here. And you're in there, praise the Lord. I'm out here looking after this thing. That's at other churches. It's not here. You know. The deal is that all of us get that attitude sometimes. And so Martha gets into manipulation, trying to make God do stuff. Some people would say it's close to witchcraft, but we won't say that. It's like, you command her, Jesus, command her to come and help me. You ever prayed a prayer like that? Jesus, tell them to come and help me. I know you haven't, but some people do pray like that. It's amazing. Jesus, please get that person to do something that's against their will. They don't want to do it. I know, but I want them to do it. And you should be on my side. And if they won't do it, send a brick on their head. Do something, God. Motivate them. And Jesus is looking at Martha and saying, Martha, Martha. Oh, guys, if he repeats your name, duck. It's not going to be good. Philip, he said that once, you know. Oh, so, yeah, it's like, Martha, Martha, you're so distracted. You're so anxious about so many things. Distracted about so many things. You're all agitated now. You're angry and you got a war with your sister and a war with me because you got a war within. You're not bringing peace to this house, Martha. I'm happy with a cup of tea and a piece of toast. Let's keep it simple. Eliminate the microwave and the peas and the... She's crying. She's got big lines of mascara coming all the way down here. Her rollers are falling out. She's got gravy all over her apron. You know, it's like, it doesn't look good. And flats. You know, so... How good would it be to have calm and to just be happy with our lives and be content and not being trying to impress others and not trying to just stir up a whole life that's what we think God is requiring of us. You'd be surprised how little he is requiring of you. He doesn't need you. He wants you. He just is happy to sit with you. He said, hey, Mary's doing she's doing the right thing here. Sorry to tell you, Mother, I know you think you're doing it, but actually, and I'm not going to take it away from her. So why don't you come sit with us, sing a song? She says, well, let me go and clean up first. And make up. He says, no, just come like that. Oh, I couldn't. So now she's all getting stressed again. This isn't in the Bible. This is my thing. You know, so eventually she says, come on, sit down with us. One of the greatest things you'll ever have is peace in your heart. When you let go stuff and let Christ live on the inside of you. You don't let anxiety and anxious and angst get you.
C3 Church is a vibrant, contemporary community of people who want to know Jesus more and be equipped to live their best life. We have over 300 churches around the world waiting to welcome you. So find your nearest C3 at c3churchglobal.com.
Hi, everybody. Look, I just wanted to take a moment to say a big thank you. I mean, the biggest thank you I can possibly make to all of you who partner with us. You send in contributions and offerings to help us resource people, to bring out podcasts, and in so many different ways, we're able to bring the glorious, the amazing message of Jesus to so many people's lives, and they are transformed. People's lives are literally turned right side up every time Christ comes into their world. Because you're partnering with us, because you are faithful, and because of your generosity, we're able to keep preaching and keep this entire broadcast and communication of the gospel happening all around the world. So once again, thank you. God bless you. I'm praying and believing with you for an abundance to be poured into your world and to be blessed in your families, in your homes, in your businesses, at every level, in the mighty name of Jesus.